I'm busy speaking to you on a topic that I know is controversial. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about these things. In the end, it's not what we want, it's what God says. I want you to understand something. We don't come to church to hear what we want to hear. Because a lot of what you want to hear is not going to be good for you. You have to hear what God wants you to hear. Because when your footsteps are governed by the word of God, then you will be blessed. Amen? It's not what you want, it's what God wants that matters in the end. Now, there is something in the Bible that gets people's skin crawling and gets their hair standing on end, and it can create a lot of arguments. We're not going to argue about what's in the word of God. If it's there, it's there. And we have to abide by it. And the word that I'm talking about is the word curse. Okay. And I'm not talking about like cursing somebody from the point of view, you peep, 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 piece of peep, 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 peep. You know what? That's also cursing. And let me just bring something up that I think is very important to say here. If you are in the habit of using curse words when you refer to certain people, I really do believe that it is in your best interest for you to stop doing that as soon as possible. There is a reason why it is called a curse word. Because when you call somebody a peep, 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 idiot, what, you are cursing that person. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says, bless and do not curse. Do you hear what the Bible says? It says, bless and do not curse. God never called us to walk down the street and curse people left, right, and center. And it doesn't really matter what they've done to you. The Bible says, bless your enemies. Amen? It's not our responsibility to be going down the road cursing people. And it doesn't matter what they've done. The grace of God is in my life. The grace of God is in your life. Our sins are forgiven. And you know what? You've done a lot of wrong things and I've done a lot of wrong things. And God doesn't hold it against us. And God doesn't curse us because of what we've done. God blesses us with salvation. He blesses us with healing. He blesses us with restoration. Now, a lot of us, we come into a habit. You know, I understand the fact that you were not born saved. And I hope you understand the concept that nobody got born saved. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that have this idea that because I was born into a Christian household, automatically I am saved. Well, that's not biblical. The Bible says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. An infant cannot believe in nothing. That infant cannot be saved until they understand the reality of salvation, the reality of sin, and their separation from God because of it. And then they make a choice to distance themselves from their sin, to turn their back on it, to repent, and they ask God for forgiveness and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that brings salvation. Okay. Now, because we were not born saved, we grew up in the world. Now, from a worldly point of view, it is quite acceptable to curse people because of what they have done. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that do it. I've heard some people talk. I tell you what, your ears ring for hours after you've heard all those words coming out of their mouth. Now, the thing is, what they don't realize, they are cursing the individual that they are speaking to. Now, let me just help you to understand something. The Bible says what you sow, you will reap. If you sow curses into somebody's life, what are you going to reap in your own life? Now, listen to me very carefully. There's a couple of people here that should listen very, very carefully. If you want to understand why you are cursed, listen to what comes out of your mouth. If you are constantly cursing people, you are sowing curses into their life, you will reap curses in your own life. And that's why maybe your life goes nowhere. That's why maybe you cannot go forward. That's why maybe the devil has so much power to come against you all the time. The Bible speaks to us very clearly about the tongue. Should I remind you of what the Bible says about the tongue? The Bible, okay, well, if you want me to really remind you, let me read it to you wrong. Let's go to the book of James. I wasn't planning on saying this, but then it just happened to pop into my mind. So I'm sure God wants us to talk about it. We're going to look at the book of James, chapter 5. And there's some very interesting things that the Bible says about the tongue here. James, chapter 5. No, it's James, chapter 3, I think. Taming the tongue. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways, and if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouth of a horse to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So what he's trying to say is, where the tongue goes, the person goes. Like you put a bit in the mouth of a horse and it controls where they go, so what comes out of your mouth controls where your life is going to go. Some of us, our tongue causes our life to go up. Some of us, our tongue causes our life to go down into the pit. Now, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Now he says, take a ship. It's huge. And the smallest part of the ship actually controls exactly where the ship goes. Now we're exactly the same. I can be a big man. You can be a big woman. We don't have to be that big either. But the fact is, in relation to the rest of our body, our tongue is this tiny little thingy. But if you want to know why your life is going this way or that way or that way or that way, stop and take a look at what comes out of your mouth, because that's what's determining where your life is going right now. Okay, so, and then he says, although they are so large and they are driven by the winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. I want you to listen. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that can corrupt you. What you see can corrupt you. What you hear can corrupt you. The company that you keep can corrupt you, but nothing corrupts you as quickly as what you allow to come out of your mouth. Because the Bible says that what comes out of your mouth, your tongue, can corrupt the whole person. And then he says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire. Now, we're not talking about the fire of revival. We're not talking about the fire of the Holy Spirit. There's two different types of fire that the Bible talks about. There is a refining, purifying fire that comes from the Spirit of God. There is a fire of revival that comes from the Spirit of God that brings people closer to God. But there is a destructive fire as well. It comes from Satan. And when that fire begins to burn, it brings destruction, it brings pain, it brings suffering, it brings torment. And that fire can be released by your tongue. And here's what you must understand. If your tongue is going to bring a little bit of fire to the person that you're talking about, it's going to bring 10 times more fire into your own life, because it's your tongue that's starting the fire. Amen? It's your tongue that's starting the fire. Now, it corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire. And it itself is set on fire by hell. We would all love God to speak through us. Amen? And it's not impossible for God to speak through us, because God will speak through you if your life lends yourself to that. But unfortunately, God is not the only one that can speak through us. We can channel either the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Satan, depending on what we allow to come out of our mouth. Now, why do we have to talk about this? Because it is impossible for me to talk to you about curses if I don't help you to understand why probably your life is cursed right now. Oh, but Rian, you don't understand. I'm a child of God. I cannot be cursed. Says who? Where you find that in the Bible? Show me the scripture. I've read the Bible through many times. I've never seen that there, but I have seen the warnings. I have seen the warnings. Listen to this one. It says, if you do not tame your tongue, if you do not control your tongue will cause your entire course of your life to be set on fire. You want to tell me that's not a curse? That is a curse. And you can't blame other people for that. You've got to look at yourself if you want to understand why your life goes nowhere because of this curse. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are under it. And let me just say something to you. It doesn't matter whether you meant it at that moment or not. It's out there. Do you understand? It's out there. And then we have to deal with what's going to come back. You know, it goes a little bit further. It says in the Bible, it says in the book of Proverbs, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that use it will eat its fruit. Okay. Have you ever heard that somebody says to you, one day you will eat those words? It's biblical. Everybody is going to eat their words. You might not eat it today. You might not eat it tomorrow, because nobody knows how long it takes for them to come back to you. But at some point in time, this is what you can bank on. This is what you can trust. It will come back to you, and you will have to eat it. Now, if you spoke life, life will come back to you in a greater measure. Because remember, when we sow something, we always reap more than what we have sown. If you sow life into somebody through the words that you've spoken, you will reap life. But if you've sown death into somebody through what you've spoken, you will reap death in a greater measure. And that is the curse. Sometimes we're going to get upset with somebody. That still doesn't give us the right to curse them. Do you understand? Because cursing them is actually just cursing yourself. Because it's going to come back. You're sowing the curse, you will reap the curse. Finishing up here. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Do you hear what the Bible says? With it we curse men. I want to come back to what I started out with. When you call somebody, you know what the effing means, you know? And there's a whole bunch of other things that I can put in there, but if you use that word in relation to another individual, it is called a curse word for a reason, because by speaking that way over the person, you are cursing the person. Even the Bible says men curse one another with their tongues. The Bible also says, in the book of Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. Let me help you to understand something. You get all upset with me for whatever the reason might be. You like going off with your wife, you know that Rian is such a F and da 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 da, and you know all sorts of words come into that conversation. Meanwhile, I have nothing to do with this. You've just cursed me. A curse without a cause shall not come to light. Is that curse going to sit on me? Will God let that curse sit on me? So where is it going to go back to? The curse knows two people. The one that the curse was sent to and the one that sent the curse. Where is it going to go? It's going to go back to the sender. You know, a lot of the people that get cursed don't deserve the curse. God will not let it go there in the first place. So it has to come back to the sender. But again, by the time it comes back to you, it's stronger, because you sow, you reap more. Now, there's a lot of people whose lives are standing still, who's going nowhere, or even right now you are in the pit, and you're blaming the devil for what's going on in your life. Well, he only plays a small role in where your life is right now. Your tongue plays the biggest role in where you are right now. You heard what he said there. The tongue is set on fire from hell. Now, let's go on. With the tongue we praise the Lord, our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes both praise and cursing. It says so in the Bible. It says that there are people that sit in church today, and on the way home they're already busy cursing somebody else. And I want to tell you something, that does not bless the heart of God. You do not walk in the good books of God when that's your attitude. But why would this be in the Bible? Because even in the days of Jesus, Even in the days of James, that was how a lot of people were, because they did not control their tongues. You have to physically work at it to control your tongue. I want to tell you something. It takes, what's it?
Discipline
to control your tongue. And some of us, we need to have a lot more discipline than others because our tongues are much looser than others. But you got to work at it to sort it out, because God is not blessed when your tongue just rambles off curse after curse after curse after curse, besides the fact that it's not good for you. And it's going to cause a lot of destruction in your life. Curse from the same spring. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So in other words, he says, if your tongue is not good, something in your life is not good, and you better work at it, you better sort it out. Amen?
Amen.
Alright, so, curses, whether we like it or not, are real, and they affect people's lives. How do you know that you are under a curse? Somebody give me an opinion.
Everything goes wrong.
Okay, well, there's one opinion. Everything goes wrong. Just give me something else.
There's no peace.
Well, there's no peace. What else? Okay, there could be a lot of things, but one thing that you have to understand about a curse. I don't want to sound like New Age, but it's like everything negative. Like negative energy. Did anybody ever see that movie? It wasn't The Dirty Dozen. What was it? The one with Clint Eastwood, and they trying to get the gold. Somebody help me. Somebody must know what that movie was. Say again? No, it's not.
No.
Yes, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember. Something's on me. Okay, anyway, I'll think of the name now, but what I'm trying... No, it wasn't that one. Dirty Harry. Oh, that reminds me, I need to watch that again. No, that's okay. Okay. In this movie, there is Clint Eastwood, and then there is, I think it's Donald Sutherland. Now, Donald Sutherland, he's like this tank driver. And... every now and then, this other guy, they're now looking to invade a bunch of Germans because they heard that there's gold being stashed and they want to get to the gold. And then every time this other guy that's supposed to help organize things, he gets like all negative. And then Donald Sutherland looks at him and he says, oh, yeah, you come with those negative vibes again. Man, all these negative vibes. Now, he's got a point there. Everything shouldn't all be negative. Now, when you look at some people's lives, everything is negative. Everything is dark. It's like the blessing is not there. The Bible makes it plain that there are two supernatural powers that can be at work. Now, they're not necessarily both going to be at work at the same time. Sometimes it's an either-or situation. There is the blessing that comes from God, which is kind of like a supernatural power released in your life that leads to prosperity, that leads to favor, that leads to life, etc. But then there is the curse, which is kind of like the opposite. It's when you don't have those things. And in a way, you can almost say it's like when everything that can go wrong does go wrong all the time. Whether it be in your health, or it be in your finances, or it be in your relationships, or whatever. But it's like, it's something that pushes you away from the blessing. How many people sit in church every Sunday in whose life that is actually happening? Plenty. How do I know that? Because on a Sunday and on a Tuesday, when people come to these meetings, they come and stand before me and they say, listen, please pray for me because all hell is breaking loose and no good things ever happen. And I have no peace, I have no joy, I have no health. But they're children of God. Is that where God wants their life to be? No. So something is wrong. That means we now need to go and understand, where did the door open for this thing to go wrong? Because, you see, there is something out there called the thief. Now, when the Bible talks about the thief, it's not talking about the oak that ran away with your cell phone last week. Okay? That's a thief. Not to be confused with the thief. A thief gets sent by the thief to steal from you. The thief being Satan. Let's say you have a lot of valuables in your house. That should put a smile on your face. You've got a lot of valuables in your house. Okay, your imagination. Your imagination. This is where we have to imagine. You have a lot of... There we go. Smile like you mean it. You have millions under your pillow. How do you sleep? Oh, it's a check for a millionaire. Okay, that's fine. You're imaginating. There we go. Imagine you've got lots of valuables in your house. Yet every now and then, you notice, okay, but this is gone. And then later you notice, but that is gone. It's clear that something is wrong, am I right? Now, you're going to have to try and find out where is the person coming into your house that's robbing you of everything. Are they coming from the front door? Have they got a skeleton key? Is there a window somewhere that doesn't close properly? Are they coming through the roof and then closing it down? You have to find the weak area. Until you don't find that and strengthen your defenses, you will eventually lose everything. Now, it's exactly the same when it comes to our spiritual life. You know, if the thief has access to your life, it's coming through something. And you've got to find that something. Something in your life has opened the door. You know, sometimes we refer to you have open doors. Well, that's what we're talking about. There is a place in your life where, or an area in your life where you gave place to the enemy. It could be, like we just spoke now, your mouth. It could be the things you say. It could be the way you talk about other people that's coming back to you. Now, the thing is, I can't close that door for you. You're the one that's got to close that door. And it doesn't help we pray for you today and tomorrow you go and you do the same thing, because even though we've now bolted the door shut, you've just kicked it open again, and then the thief is going to keep coming in. So we have to identify where the thief is coming in so that we can actually deal with it. If we can deal with the thief, we can have victory. I know that I have shown this many times, but it actually works. What have I got here? Have I got something? Let me just see. Ah, here we go. No, I've got something else. This is my little card holder. Okay. Who can I use as an example? I'm definitely not going to forget the pin, but I'm also not going to share it. Okay. Who can I use as an example? Jaden. I could sort of see his face at the back there. He was like, what? Jaden, you know what? The problem is, I know your name. Jaden, it's not that bad, man. Yes, bad. Firstly, I want to say that I'm proud of you for actually coming forward. Secondly, you are such a sexy young boy. I want all these people to see you. You're going to help me with a demonstration. You don't mind, do you? Okay, then tell your face. Smile? You can smile. Jaden, do you see this? What if I told you that there was a lot of money here in front of you? Okay, there's not that much there, but we prophesy. Okay, there's a lot of money here. There's a lot of money here. Okay, take it. It wasn't difficult, was it? Okay, now, there's a lot of money here. This, let's say it represents the blessing of God. Is the blessing of God available to everybody?
Yes.
Is there anybody here that can prove to me that there is some reason why God will not bless you?
No.
Okay, I'm not talking about if you still have a curse in your life. I'm just talking from the point of view that God will bless you. Amen? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future, a good future. All right. The Bible says God gives sunshine to the good and the bad. He gives rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. God is a giver. Amen. He gave His Son. Amen. His Son gave His life. Amen. God is a giver. Now, because the blessing is available to you, take it. That's it. Now, let's make one small change. Close your eyes. The blessing is still available to you. Take it. You almost had it. Stop. Look. Okay. What was the difference? The first time, the blessing was there. The second time, the blessing was still there, but it affected his ability to take it. Jaden, the blessing of God is never far from us. It's always there. But sometimes the problem with us can keep us from receiving the blessing. Thank you. Please sit down. So now the thing is, this is what we have to do. We have to look at it and say, what are the things in my life that is causing that veil to come over me? That is causing the enemy to have power over me. You see, the enemy can't push the blessing away. If God's rain is going to come for the righteous and the unrighteous, how is he going to stop it from coming? It's going to come. But he can do something to you that you can't receive it. Amen? You can't receive it. Some of you have seen many times when we start praying for people later on. And we begin to pray, especially for curses in the area of prosperity. When the demon manifests, the people's hands go like this. And when you look at it, those knuckles go white, white, white. And normally by the time we eventually get the spirit to come out, their nails have dug like holes into their hand. Because that's exactly what that demon does. It closes your hands. Now, what happens when your hands are closed? Well, let me show you. Wait, I've got some money here. Wait, just give me a second. Right. Oh, I've actually got plenty here. Who can I use as an example? No, not Jaden. Look at Jaden. He just thought to himself, I need to go to the toilet now. Oh, you can sit. You can sit. It's fine. I tell you who I am going to use. There's a young girl at the back there. Her name is Ashley. I'm very proud of you. Look at her. I don't even have to call her. She's just running to the front. Wonderful. Okay, Ashley. Let's show them something. Okay. Again, from the point of view that I am in a place that I can be blessed, what must I be able to do? I must be able to receive the blessing. Okay, open your hand. Let me guess, your mother taught you, right? Okay. Say again. Go sit down. Are you instigating here? Okay, let's try that again. Receive it. There's it. It's not difficult because her life is in a place where she can receive. But now, many times when we pray against the curse of poverty or the curse of lack and, you know, that type of stuff, this is actually what happens. Close your hands tight for me. Knock your one safe to. Safe, safe, safe. Now, I want you to look here. Same thing as before. What happened? The prosperity is coming. It's not like it's not coming. I mean, it's coming. But it can't sit. It can't. You see, no matter what I do, it won't sit there. Open your hand. The blessing is back. Where's the problem? The problem was with her. But did God make her that way, or did something come into her life to create that? Something came into her life to create that. What's it called? It's called the curse. That curse is working in her life, and I want you to listen to me, every single one of you, because there's a lot of you here, you're battling big time. I want to make you a promise. The blessing of God has never been removed from your life. The blessing is still there. Now, I want to show you something. Close your hands again. The blessings are going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming. All that has to happen is her hands need to open for her to start receiving it. God will not remove his blessing from you. But God wants you to deal with the curse in your life that's making it difficult for you to receive the blessing. I'm blessing you with this. You can see. Now listen there, now I'm going to have to make a plan because I can already see Jaden in the back there. Oh, this is not fair. I'll sort you out later, Jaden. Okay, so.
The blessings of God, they have conditions.
Let's talk about that. She says the blessings of God are conditions. The Bible says, today, when you hear my voice, if you obey me, I will bless you. Listen to that. Let me go to that scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 says the following. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if. Now, why is the word if there? It shows us there is a condition being given. Let me see the hands of everybody that wants the following to happen in your life. The Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you. Who wants it? I'm trying to see who's not raising their hands. I want to pray for your hearing. Okay, so all right. You're all fine. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. If you obey. You know, I spoke to you just now about the tongue. God says, deal with your tongue. If you don't deal with your tongue, the blessing is there, but you can't receive it. Do you understand? The condition is obey God. And sometimes in certain areas, we are being blatantly disobedient, and then we can't understand why we don't have the blessing. Well, deal with your disobedience. Amen? And the blessing of God will still be there. The blessing of God is still there. Now, I want to speak about something that I have seen many, many times, and there's a lot of you here, my ministry team can actually attest to this. When we go somewhere where we don't know the people, is it good biblical practice to just go and lay people lay hands on you? Okay, let's talk about that. A number of years ago, actually like probably 15 years ago, I had my first experience of this curse. I was in a church, and a woman came forward and she said to me, please pray for me because, and she actually asked me to pray for her because financially everything in their life had started going wrong. Now, you know, sometimes it's not that difficult to know that you are under a curse because you can blatantly see it. For many years, they had been stable financially. Everything had been going well. And she told me that suddenly over the past, I think it was roughly 6 months, all hell was breaking loose in their financial situation. They never had enough money. Things were breaking all the time. Everything was going wrong. There was problems with payments. They were being overcharged for things. It was just, she gave me a whole big spiel, but it was like, financially, it was like something evil had moved in there and it was sucking away the blessing. Now, I said to her, okay, fine. Let me pray for you. And I said to her, give me your hands and I'm going to pray for your hands because I already understood that it is the hands that receive the blessing. And if the curse sits there, it likes to sit on the hands. And many times when we pray for the curse of poverty or stuff, you will see the people's hands start going all like crippled. Like deformed, weird. I took her hands and I began to pray for her. As I began to pray for this woman, it didn't take long. It was like a couple of seconds. Her hands started going funny. Like, but I want to say something to you. This was not a big woman. I thought she was going to crush my fingers. Her hands began to clam shut. And then she fell down and she began to manifest. The spirit began to scream through her. I will never forget what I saw that day, and I wasn't the only one that saw it. There was probably about 30 people in the church at that stage still. It was already quite late at night. Do you know that this woman's whole face changed? She wasn't a very old lady. And I think at the time that I prayed for her, she was in her probably late 30s. In front of my eyes, she turned into a woman. She looked like she was 80-something. Her eyes went deeply sunken in. Her skin began to wrinkle. Her mouth, you know, she started having this prunish thing started going on there. But everything about her and her face went this ashen pale color. You know, if I had had that on a video, Hollywood can't do what I saw happen there that day. It was like whatever was manifesting on her was showing that it is sucking everything out of her. So I'm looking at this, and this looks like it comes out of some Stephen King movie. And I start praying against this demon. And eventually, I commanded the demon to tell me who he was. The demon told me eventually that he was the witch of Endor, which you know is something that is found in the Bible. It was actually a person. Now, you know what? Whether this thing was telling me the truth there or not, I cannot say. But she really looked like a witch if I looked at her face. I tell you what, it put the fear of God in me. But then I asked the spirit, how did you enter this woman? And of course, in the beginning, he didn't want to tell me, but we kept on going. And eventually he said to me, I came into this woman when a man laid hands on her. I thought, okay, fine. I spoke to the woman. I said, in Jesus' name, I command the woman, come back. I said to the woman, listen, yeah, this spirit is telling me that he came into you when somebody laid hands on you. Her husband immediately said, we went to that crusade. Do you remember that guy laid hands on you? She was like, wow, yes. I said, okay, what happened? They went to a crusade. This is not aimed at the person whose crusade it was. I'm not even going to mention the name. It doesn't matter. It's a very well-known individual. The problem was, certain people went forward for prayer, and then there were these other pockets where there were people like, okay, I'll pray for you, you know. And this one individual, apparently he was praying for people and there was a lot of things happening. So a lot of people that didn't want to go stand in the queues to wait for prayer in the front, they went to this guy. Now let's ask a question. When you go to a crusade and there's this random person standing there laying hands on everybody, do you know who he is? Do you know where he comes from? Do you know his life? Do you even know what spirit is working through him? Because you must understand, the supernatural has two sources. There is God and Satan, and both of them can manifest their presence. And doesn't the Bible say that Satan in the last days will come as an angel of light, and if possible, he will deceive even the very elect? So the thing is, this woman, they were standing there, and she was like, she wanted to speak in tongues. So she said to her husband, I'm going to go and let that guy pray for me to speak in tongues. There's nothing wrong with wanting to speak in tongues. We should all want to speak in tongues. But we must be very careful how we're going to receive it. Because we must test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Amen? This woman never tested nothing. She went on what she saw. This man touches people and the power of so-called God comes upon them and things happen. Okay, so she goes forward. She goes to this gentleman and she says to him, oh, I want to pray in tongues. Bam! She says it felt like a ball of fire hit her. She was knocked out. For half an hour, she didn't move. When she came back, this tongue was going through her mouth, wada, 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 wada. And she was like, oh, okay, well, fine, bless God, I'm speaking in tongues. What happened? She was not filled with the Holy Spirit. She was filled with a spirit, an unclean spirit. The spirit that came into her was speaking through her. The demon told me, every time I speak through her, I curse her life. Yes. You see, she's speaking in an unknown language. How does she know what's going through her mouth? She doesn't know. She didn't even know who this spirit was that came onto her. There is a scripture in the Bible that comes from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, and it says, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in anyone's sin. I do believe there's more than one way that we can look at it. But what I want to bring to you this way today is this. You must never be in a hurry to to just let somebody lay hands on you. Because you have a responsibility to test the spirit first. And I see today a lot of Christians do not understand the necessity to test the spirit. You know, if you come to our meetings, you get the opportunity to get to know me. You get to hear the word that I bring. You get to see the spirit that works through me. And that is your way of testing. And if you want me to give you the test, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth and he died for your sins. He rose again on the third day and he conquered Satan in the process. There's your test. But the thing is, yes, demons don't confess that. Now the thing is, when this woman went to this crusade, the person preaching is a man of God. There's no question. But because this was a massive big gathering, and there was literally thousands of people there, there was no control over who else ministers. Now if you've come to my meetings, you will know I have a rule. At my meetings, the only people that minister are the people that minister with me. They are called my team. They wear this shirt. That's how I know I can trust who's ministering to you. On a number of occasions, I have had people very offended with me because I have stopped them from ministering. If I don't know you, how can I allow you to minister if I don't know who you are, where you come from, and what spirit is coming with you? Because if I allow you to come and infect everybody with some weird spirit, yeah, one day God's going to hold me accountable for that. One night we were in Springs, and I was busy praying for people, and the next moment this gentleman just, an Afrikaans, hy trek net los. There he just goes, boom, laying hands on everybody. And I walked up to him and I said to him, excuse me, what are you doing? No, he's praying for people. I say, sir, I don't know you. And if I don't know you, I cannot allow you to do this. The man was very offended with me. He said to me, yeah, but I know so and so. And I said, I don't care that you know them. I don't know you. And I have a rule here. You want to minister here? You walk a road with me and you get involved in my ministry team. Then I can allow you to do that because by that time I know who you are. The gentleman stripped himself, got his family and they left. Also showed me his attitude was wrong. Now, getting back to this woman. The Spirit told me every time she lets him speak through her, that is what he's doing. He's cursing her life. He's cursing her finances. He's cursing her marriage. I wish you could see her husband's face when this Spirit was talking. I tell you, his eyes were popping out of his head. Unfortunately, the Spirit that came into that woman was not the Spirit of God. Subsequently, on a number of occasions, when we start talking about these things, people come forward and they say to me, Rian, I have a feeling that whatever I received is not of God. I will not say every single time, but many, many, many times when we pray, a false demon pops, a false spirit pops. Do you know how many people have thought they speak in tongues, and after we've prayed for them, they no longer speak in tongues because it never came from God? Because they never tasted. And they did not know who the person was that was laying hands on them. So let's just be very clear. When you go somewhere and there is somebody ministering, but you don't know who they are, and you have not had the opportunity to truly test the spirit that is in them, you do not let people just lay hands on you for the sake of laying hands, because you can get infected. And you know, we're very stressed about AIDS and stuff like that, but there's other things out there that can destroy your life much quicker. Yes. Because spirits can transfer. Now let me explain something to you. This all has to do with authority. Whoever ministers to you ministers in the authority of a spirit. Either they are ministering in the authority of the Spirit of God, or they are ministering in the authority of whatever spirit controls their life, which would then be an evil spirit. If you are submitting to the authority of that evil spirit, you are opening yourself up to receive what that spirit wants to put in you. And that's what makes it very dangerous. And a lot of people have unfortunately cursed their lives because of this, because they do not understand how spiritual things work. The good news is, the grace of God touched that woman that night. That spirit came out of her. Within a minute, her whole face began to change again. She looked normal. I will never forget her hands. Do you know that her hands, she had actually very nice hands. When that spirit was manifesting in her, her hands looked, have you ever seen like,
E.T.
Okay, E.T., yes, actually that's not bad. Those bony fingers with those long nails. Her hands looked a bit like that. In the old Popeye comics, there was the old sea hag. Do you remember the old sea hag? She had these bony fingers. The woman's hands even began to look like that. It's like her whole body began to take on the appearance of the spirit that was with her. The spirit came out. I have to say, it took quite a while for the spirit to leave, because I do believe that the spirit that was with her had a lot of power, but in the end it left. And their lives went back to normal. They learned a very, very, very valuable lesson that day. You do not just go stand, please pray for me. If you don't know who it is, you don't. Listen, yeah, anybody can just pray a prayer for you, but it's different when you let them lay hands on you. Because then, by definition, you are submitting to whatever controls their life. And if you do not know for sure that it is the Spirit of God controlling their life, you can pick up a lot of problems. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Okay, here's the question. Is it possible that there could be a spirit in your life that is dormant, and for many years it lays dormant, and then suddenly something causes it to surface? Yes, it happens all the time. One thing you must understand, most demons do not want to show their hand. They are creatures of darkness, which means they work behind the veil. So when something happens, it's not in their interest to immediately begin to cause problems, because then it's often easy enough for somebody to put two and two together and say, oh, you know what, probably it came from there. They will hide. Sometimes a certain event or a certain circumstance in your life or a certain individual that comes into your life can trigger it for it to start operating. Fact of the matter is, if it's there, at some point in time it's going to show itself. Have I got 5 minutes left? Only five. Wow, time flies. Okay. In any case, okay, maybe that's just all we need to talk about today, because I don't have time to get into anything else. On a number of occasions, I have had to pray for people for the exact same thing. Not once, not twice, probably 50 to 100 times. It happens. And one has to be very, very careful. I had a woman that I prayed for. You remember her, the blondie. She was involved in Satanism. She came to a church where I ministered one night, and there was, I tell you what, all hell broke loose in that church. Because the Spirit of God moved, and she came in there and tried to curse everybody, and there was just fireworks. Now, she had 13 spirits with her. I know, because I cast them all out. Each and every single one of them involved in laying on of hands and infecting Christians with rubbish.
But that's what Satanists do. They go to churches as Christians, they sit in churches, and then that's what they do.
Well, this woman, her mission was to go from church to church, and she used to like charismatic churches, because, you know, your more traditional churches aren't even open to this type of stuff. She would go to these churches and she would invade the church, get friendly with everybody, and, you know, she was like that gentleman. When she touched people, boom, things happened.
And everybody thought, oh, she's very spiritual and she's very anointed, but she wasn't anointed. She was infected. There's a big difference. I cast 13 demons out of her, all working in the church, infecting Christians. False tongues, false anointing, you know, shaking and all sorts of stuff. I can't even remember. I've got all the names there. And she used to say to me, she used to go to these churches and then in the beginning she wouldn't do much. She would slowly but surely get involved. And then she would attend the prayer meetings and she would do this and that. And then at some point in time, when she felt the time was right, she would begin to pray for people. The purpose was to lay hands on them. And she told me how many of the people that she laid hands on, within a couple of months, they stopped coming to church. Because they were infected by something that would push them away, and everything was going wrong. The demon also told me that the individual that laid hands on that woman was a Satanist. That was there that night to do specifically that. He did the same thing as this lady that I prayed for. Guys, it's a reality. There is a war going on. There are two kingdoms that are opposed to one another. There is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and the two can't coexist. Satan doesn't want people to sit in church, hear the word of God, have the truth set them free. He wants to find ways to push you away from God. There is a gift of the Holy Spirit that is extremely important and that I feel many, many, many churches do not have whatsoever. It's called the gift of discerning of spirits. You have to be able to discern what spirit is at work because they both look very similar. Do you remember that when Moses did signs and wonders and miracles, Jannes and Jambres could follow everything he did? Don't tell me the devil can't do things. He can. Ultimately, the power of God was stronger. But Satan can mimic what he sees. So where you see the power of God working through an evangelist, Satan can copy that. The question is, do you know who you're dealing with? One thing that we should be praying and asking God for is the gift of discerning of spirits. Because through the gift of discerning of spirits, God will reveal what is happening. Anyway, did anybody...